Hey everybody, welcome back to an all-new Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Today we have a very sweet, very talented content creator from Canada, living in Hamburg, founder of Business Babes Abroad, the incredible Hannah Teslin. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy to have Hannah Teslin here today. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here too. I've like watched you grow crazily on TikTok and Instagram the last few months, and I'm like, really big congrats. Like, you're doing well, sweetie. It's great.
I mean, I could really say the same for you. I remember I think the same with you and me and our previous guest, Brittany, and we'll get into that. I think we both know there's like this core five or six creators that have the perspective of looking at Germany through this immigrant lens. But you're a creator who I found your stuff probably similar in the way that you found mine. That we're both, you know, coming from North America, maybe different places, we'll get to that, but coming from North America, going to Germany for different reasons, and both kind of struggling in our own unique ways. And yeah, I want to know a bit more about you, and, you know, let's just start from scratch. So where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm currently where I'm from. I am Canadian, so I moved to Germany 10 years ago, officially, like, 10 years ago, 2014 or 2013. I came back then in 2014 officially, so I don't never really know. But I'm Canadian, I'm from British Columbia. Hard to say where I'm actually from anymore, because actually I've lived in Hamburg longer than the last place I lived in Canada. So yeah, BC is basically where the area of Canada I'm from, but I'm from like a few different towns because I was born somewhere, I moved somewhere for high school somewhere else, I went to university in another town. So between Nelson, Victoria, BC, those are my homes. And I'm currently in the Okanagan, where my mom lives, which is now my other home, which is also in BC. So yes, I'm from British Columbia, basically.
I can't believe you already lived in Germany for 10 years. I think this is my 7th or 8th year.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was your origin? I guess you've been asked this a million times probably by now, but I guess we all have to be put on the stand. You know, like, what was your, were you just traveling around looking for like a change in your life and you found Germany, or was it a purposeful, like getting a job, something like that?
Well, I like to say it was, I wanted to move to Germany and I took the leap and did it by myself. No, like many international women and also men, I moved originally for love. And I don't like to, say that's a bad thing, because I think it's a very brave thing to do, to move across the world for someone, your love interest. And we were together for 6 years, which we lived in Hamburg together. We broke up like 4 years ago now. So that was the original move. But I did not just, throw everything and just move there for the guy. I did go to university in Cologne for 6 months before I made the official move. I did like an Erasmus kind of thing from Canada. And then I tested the waters and I was like, okay, this works. And then I also got an internship through that university in Hamburg. And then, yeah, that's how I kind of set my grounds there, which it was originally for a guy, but I made sure that like I had a job. I had got some kind of, experience in Germany before I came there to make sure I actually liked it. And when we broke up, I had the choice of going back home to Canada, which sounded very cozy and nice, the easiest thing to do. But I decided to stay. So 4 years later, after a long pandemic, I'm now here for 10 years somehow. So.
But I think that's kind of impressive that you didn't let the reason that you went to Germany define why you stayed.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes that tends to be the case. What did you study in Cologne, and what did you get an internship with?
Yeah, so I did like a Bachelor of Tourism Management in Canada. And I did like a part of that degree in Cologne at Cologne Business School, International Tourism Management, with a major in like event management. And then I got an internship right out of that in 2014 at a startup for cruise booking, online cruise booking websites, like where you can book any cruise in the world through this website. And I was the eventually moved up from intern to a team lead of this booking website within like the first 3 years of moving to Germany. So I had the whole startup life experience too.
That's such a crazy coincidence that today was exactly the same day I dropped a video about a German being on an American cruise line.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's like crazy timing.
I know so much about cruises now too. Like, I don't work in the cruise industry anymore, but I was like managing all of like the information about the itineraries of the cruises, what the cabins look like, what restaurants were on board, like writing all the information about like their stops and the cruise lines. So I learned a lot about the cruise industry, and it was great because I studied tourism. So it was a good first job out of that degree. But after that, I worked for a tech company for 6 years as their global event manager, which was a much cooler job, I have to say.
What does that entail, a global event manager?
Basically, the title. So I worked for.
It sounds pretty intense. It sounds like superhero.
I know. I like to think it was. I mean, it was an amazing job, and I'm so lucky to have gotten that job. I started pretty junior, but I worked my way up to like a senior position over 6 years. So I got to plan events for this tech company all over Europe and around the world. So with that job, I went to New York, not Australia, but all over Europe, every big capital in Europe, I got to go and plan an event there. London, we did like Soho comedy nights, yacht tours on the sunset yacht tours in New York. Like, my life was not average, I have to say. It gave me so much world experience too, and a lot with Europeans and working with different European types, which is why I like talking so much about culture, because I've gotten to experience like working with almost every single European country doing their events. And then that job I left last year, and I decided to become fully self-employed.
That's really incredible.
Yeah.
That's really cool. This question will seem off topic, but I promise it's connected. Did you watch the show Succession?
No.
Okay. There's a very, very important plot line that kind of is carried throughout about cruises, about cruise lines.
Yes.
So I was going to ask if you thought that's based in reality. I kind of think probably, at least in the world of Disney cruises, it might be. It's a little sketchy and twisted, but I think when you get that high up in the world, a lot of things are.
I learned a lot of things about cruises. Like, there's some people, you can retire on a cruise cheaper than a retirement home in like the States. You can just book like a 1 year, 3 year cruise for cheaper than it is for your monthly rent at a retirement home in like a bigger city in the States.
Really?
Yeah. So there's many older people who just book a lifetime cruise and sail around the world for the rest of their lives until they die.
I mean, that's kind of magical. Do you know the stats? Do you know the stats on how many of these elderly people pass away on the cruise per year?
No, but there is a morgue on the cruise, so.
What a job. Okay. Every once in a while, Mike, so my background is very different from that, but I love where we cross paths there. I went to film school in New Orleans, and I'm working a lot more now in television and film, and whenever I come across a job that I didn't know existed, my first thought is, wouldn't it be so cool to see a movie or a show where like someone has that job, and someone working the morgue on a cruise line must be such an interesting job, really.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
And there's not only the people that live on the boat pass away, but also there's lots of seniors that go on cruises and pass away. So it's actually quite essential. So
it must be. I mean, there's how many thousands on an average cruise? 3,000 to 5,000?
Yeah, like 3,000 to 5,000. Yeah, it's crazy.
So you said that you just became. When did you officially like put the pen to paper that you're self-employed? Congratulations on that, by the way.
Last year in May. So after if you know, in the pandemic, a lot of things stopped. So travel stopped and events stopped. So my job as a global event manager became quite difficult. It wasn't laid off or anything. I was on Kurzarbeit for a while. small work.
Like, so like part-time?
Yeah, sort of? It was like paid by the government, but I just wasn't working as much. And then my role shifted to more on like online events manager, which was also fine, but definitely not as fulfilling for me. And during that time of the pandemic, I concentrated a lot more on content and TikTok and everything, just because I was mostly bored at home. And I think the company and I both saw that like I was not as passionate about the job anymore and what it turned into. So we decided to both like part ways, but it actually paid my way to become self-employed, because in Germany, when you get laid off from a company, you get a lot of financial support, which was amazing. So
yeah.
It was really, obviously it was sad, and after leaving, being at a company for 6 years, there's a lot to let go of, but in the end, it was definitely for the better, because I was able to become a freelancer. So I still am an event manager, a freelance event manager. I have a few clients that I work with. And then on this other side, I'm a content creator. So I get the best of both worlds now and have a way more flexible schedule, still make considerably the same or more amount of money and work a lot less. So I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really incredible. I feel like we're so lucky in that way that, you know, we've struggled in our own individual ways to maybe find comfort or a social sort of security living in Germany. But It's kind of worth it, because on the systemic side of things, like I've been unemployed a couple of different times. I'm also now self-employed, and like having that ability, having that support from the government is so priceless.
Yeah, and I could have had more support. So in Germany, there's the Grundschutz. I don't know if you ever used that, but if you get laid off and you want to start your own company, the government...
This Gründungs...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they'll basically give you money if you fit the criteria to start your own company. They'll pay you to like start your business, and you don't have to pay this money back. I wanted to do that, but I got a client right away after being... put onto Arbeitslosengeld, which was also sad, because not sad, but I was like, ooh, finally, I get to use the free government money. But the client that I got, I could not turn down. And it's been great having one stable client in events still, and still being able to do all my freelancing on the side. But definitely when you lose your job in Germany, like the support, it's the best place to lose your job, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, the best place to be in that position. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And
I feel so lucky in that way.
Yeah. And they're super supportive, and you get money. And if I wanted to completely like change my career, they would retrain you and everything. You could go back to school. Just luckily, I was completely set what I wanted to do already. So it was fine.
Yeah. What was a moment for you? Because I remember when I first started making content, like, I don't know how much you know about me before we met sort of through the internet, but like I was always sort of posting and trying to make get some traction through my own music.
Yeah.
And that was okay. Yeah. You know, I was not making a living, but I was comfortable, and I hadn't lost hope or something. I was just like kind of under the radar enough to keep trying. But I remember there was this, you know, first video, like a lot of people just getting into pandemic, finally decided to give that old TikTok thing a try.
Yeah.
You know, I had watched it for a while, but never thought about making anything with it. And then made my first video that, you know, comparably to anything I had posted on Instagram, was like crazy different numbers.
Yeah,
just by chance or, you know, luck or whatever, algorithmically or whatever. And thinking to myself, well, that's kind of cool. That's something I hadn't thought about before. Do you have a moment like that that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I think I had the same experience. Like, I was on the part-time work at my job. I was in the pandemic, I also lived alone. Like, I was single, living alone in my like 30 square meter flat during quarantine, working from home. Being like, someone told me, hey, you should download TikTok, it's fun. Like, and I was like, what is this thing? Like, swiping away. And I, you know, I tried out a few videos, which were like, I just trying to test the waters. And I was like, obviously they all flopped. But then I saw this woman, she was an immigrant in the Netherlands. I don't know her account now, but she was doing just like funny content about being an immigrant in the Netherlands. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I already had my blog, which I did not put that much effort into. I think one of my biggest posts was like 2014 Tumblr times. I wrote 100. Oh, yeah. I wrote 100 things that are weird about living in Germany, and that one got like reposted on, I don't know what it's called on Tumblr, retumbled or something in 2014, like hundreds of times. And I was like, that was like my claim to fame. And then I was like, wait a minute, like I could just make. I did write some blog posts on my blog. Like, I had a few good blog posts that had quite a good amount of reach, but I could never keep it up because blogging was just too much effort. And then when I saw this woman talking about things in the Netherlands, and I was like, wait a minute, like, I could talk on TikTok about this. And I always wanted to make short videos on Instagram, but never really found the motivation. And I think one of my first videos, I have to go back to TikTok. It was on some subject like weird things about living in Germany as a Canadian. And at that time, I used the word weird things. It was just a super simple video, just like talking about, you know, having to hang your laundry to dry, Luften, which is very much talked about in our community. A lot of just like the general topics. Those went all viral. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I have an audience. I have an audience. Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to keep doing this.
Did you experience it too, where the follower growth shot up so much faster on TikTok first?
Yeah.
And then slowly came back like on the back end from Instagram? Did you have that experience too?
Yeah. So my followers, like I wasn't posting reels on Instagram. Like, I started this in 2020. So I like to think that I'm like pretty OG when it came to this topic on TikTok. I know there was a lot of YouTubers doing it way previously, but there was, I think when I started on TikTok, in like May 2020, this topic was quite new to people. So people were really like into this culture shock content. And it grew really, really fast. And I was even like, wow, like 10,000 followers. Wow, 20,000 followers. And then it kind of, after the pandemic,
it plateaued a bit.
And
same. Yeah,
also, I plateaued a bit as well because I had to go back to my full-time job, so I could not produce the content like I used to being quarantined in my tiny apartment. But then Reels came out, as you saw, and I started reposting my content to Instagram, and then that grew exponentially because this content was new for Instagram people. Everyone was so excited about it.
Right.
And at this time, I think I was December 2020 when Instagram came up with Reels, I think. And I was actually in Canada.
Oh, wow, you're so good with dates. I would never remember that.
Yeah. No, just because I have memories. I was in Canada, actually, and I was quarantining in my mom's basement because I had to quarantine for 2 weeks before I could, like, see my parents. Good times, remember? So I was in my mom's basement quarantining and, like, reposting my TikToks to Reels, and, like, my Instagram following was going crazy up, and I was like, this can't be real. Like, it's so hard to build an audience on Instagram. Like, and now this is, and then it all started from that point. Like, once Instagram came into the game, I think my career as a content creator definitely took off.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, now that I really think about it, I guess we more or less started around the same time.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about the way the internet works is when I first saw something of yours, it kind of gave the impression, or I gave it the impression, that you had been doing it for years.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, I mean, I don't immediately look at someone's profile when I like the video. I see a few, and then if I decide, you know, I'll check it out. But when I saw a couple of yours passing through, and I was like, oh man, she's really doing it. That's a cool, like, person to keep in my mind, that, like, that's someone with the same kind of, you know, different angles and different methods and stuff, of course. But like a North American going through the German experience, and even more special, also a different region of Germany. But Yeah, I really thought like, oh, she's been doing this for like 6-7 years already.
Maybe something. Because I had the blog already, so it wasn't like a new topic to me, but I also had lots of ideas. But yeah, I think your stuff came up on my TikTok a few times too, but it was a mix between like their Germany content and also your like music stuff. And I was like, oh, is he a musician talking about Germany or like that? But I kind of understood that you're like doing both topics, which was super cool that you were not trying, you were trying to like help your music career with also your other content, which was, I think was good.
But that's, I mean, that's kind of the tough thing where I am now is, I feel like I kind of have to just make the decision of just letting the music be something people find out if they really want to go through links and they really want to know more about me.
Yeah.
Instead of putting it in the forefront because I don't know. I felt like when I was first getting this growth as like the, you know, comedy content expat guy, I think I was kind of confusing followers or confusing the algorithm or something with trying to push music at the same time. Like, I think maybe I got too greedy and was like, well, I got, you know, let's say just for example, something like, I don't know, I got 200,000 views on this video. The next one, I'll put a clip of my last music video or I'll put a promo to a download link for Spotify or something.
Yeah.
Or a pre-save link. And it was just, you know, just garbage numbers, like just so embarrassingly different. And then the next one I would do would be totally different again.
Yeah.
I started to just kind of get bummed out that maybe this isn't the right combination to be doing. And then, like you said, switching over to Instagram Reels, when I was putting things on there and doing it in sort of the pattern that I'm doing it now, I realized, okay, well, and I had this epiphany not too long ago. I was like, maybe I shouldn't be trying to split that at all. Maybe I should just follow where this is going. I do enjoy doing it. I'm not like selling my soul or something. I love making these videos.
Yeah.
And maybe just doing music or doing concerts or doing music for projects can just be like more of a back burner passion thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that I actually, my original Instagram was mostly only about travel. It wasn't so much about German content or German culture. And the stuff about German culture really hit it off because people found this is the most engaging when it comes to conversations and stuff. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm doing less of it now because I'm slightly burnt out on the topic, to be honest, because I've been talking about living in Germany for almost three years on my channel. And I do have the audience now that they're happy to see lots of different types of content from me. But yeah, I struggle with that too, is that in the beginning when I was doing just Germany content and I would just do a video about, you know, like my trip to Greece or whatever, the trip to Greece content would get like no views and I'd be like, but
you feel upset about it. Like I put like, all this effort and
you're like, why does no one care about my trip to Greece? But now I always slowly put like I did a video on TikTok recently about my Turkey trip, and I played Germany in it. Like I've noticed as long as I mentioned Germany in a very discreet way in my videos, as long as I kind of tie it to the Germany, living in Germany theme, the video will perform super well. So I had two examples. I did a travel vlog to Turkey and I said, Germans be like, oh, you went to Antalya. Like, which resort did you stay in? Which is very German thing to say because all Germans go to Antalya and stay in, not all, but most Germans go to Antalya.
I see that one here. That's almost a million views on Instagram, right? That's amazing. That's
literally all I said about Germany. And then I just talked about my trip to Turkey. And that did super well.
It's a good hook.
Yeah,
it's
right?
It's a good hook.
So as long as you play it like...
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the other one I did 2 years ago on my trip to Malta. The first video was like 1 week in Malta. That didn't do well on TikTok. And then it was like 1 week budget vacation from Germany to Malta. Like,
there you go.
And that went hit off right away. So it's annoying. You have to sometimes play it in with the overall theme of your profile. But as long as you, it's funny how these algorithms work. It's so annoying.
There's like... there's like a line to draw for yourself, right? Yeah. Because I feel like, you know, what you're saying is that you're not trying to you're not changing the content you want to make. You're still telling the story of your trip.
Yeah.
But what you're, and I think this is just smart business sense. What you're doing is you're learning how to match whatever, if it's the thumbnail or the title.
Yeah.
You're just, it sounds vicious to say it like this, but you're playing into what your audience wants to see.
Yeah.
But not sacrificing. That's what I want. Is you're not sacrificing your content
exactly
to do something you don't want to do. You're still doing what you want, but you're learning how to manipulate what the first nanosecond is that they see.
Yeah,
I think that's just good business sense.
Manipulate the algorithm, basically. It's also like TikTok and Instagram, reading your text and everything, and being like, okay, does this match with this? Does this match with this? Okay, we'll match with this. We'll push it to those people, so it works that way. Yeah. But I still do a lot of, I'm doing more travel content where I don't mention Germany. Those movies, those videos aren't doing as well, but they still get 10,000, 20,000 views. And that's still pretty good, you know? Like, they're not
totally
1 million. Totally. But imagine if
and
you were...
And here's the thing, yeah.
Imagine if you were a travel blogger who just was starting out and your video got 10,000 views. You'd be totally stoked. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I felt about my literal first TikTok that was not music related. It was like some song, some trending song that I used to match to just the smallest little joke. It didn't even show me.
Yeah.
It was showing like an image that made fun of German inclusivity or something. And it got like 25,000. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that I ever did on TikTok. And I was like, oh my God, I have tried so many years on Instagram to get anything like this. It was insane.
Yeah.
I was going to say though, this video, the one before it, the one you just mentioned that's at just about 1 million. Funny, I saw that one in passing, but I didn't quite catch it as much as the next one that I think did also really well. When you've lived in Europe for 10 years and no longer enjoy places like Rome, Paris, London, prefer places like this. That's in Turkey, right?
That was in Italy, yeah. I just took an older video and...
Oh, that's in Italy. Oh,
yeah, and then that one was just a random video that I was just... You know, I call those content fillers when I don't have so much to do. I'll like...
I do those too.
Yeah, you make a video that's quite easy to make and sometimes they just hit off like this one. So yeah, that... And since I've been posting those kind of random travel videos, like my travel content is getting a burst. So I think the algorithm has now pushed my travel stuff. So I'm super happy about it.
No, that's amazing.
Because I'm in Canada now. So it's not like I'm going to be doing a lot of Germany content. I saw your America, like German in America stuff. And I was like, oh, I could do this in Canada as well. So there might be some.
You could. Soon. You totally could.
There might be some soon. I'm also traveling with my German partner. And just filming his reactions to things has always been. It's been quite fun, but he's going to get annoyed.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's, yeah, that's a bottomless pool of, of things there, you know, but playing off that.
He's like, stop it. I'm like, okay, I won't put that. What do you think of this?
Of course you...
No.
Of course you know Uyen, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I believe she's Vietnamese.
Yeah, I know her as well.
I mean, she's like, you know, she's like whatever the Justin Timberlake, like the number one creator in that game,
yeah.
Her and Liam. And she did that too. She, this thing with her boyfriend, the stuff with her boyfriend was only in the last, like what, 10, 11 months? That she started bringing him in slowly, showing his arm, showing his leg, things about my German boyfriend, cooking for my German boyfriend. My German boyfriend cooks for me.
Yeah.
And it was all really recently and it did really well.
Yeah, we actually started our own channel, Dennis and I, called Maple and Potato. But since it's kind of put on the side burner at the moment, but I think we're going to be posting most of our Canada content here, there, because it's fun to have just the account just for the both of us, but I don't keep his face hidden like Ewan. Like everyone knows what Dennis looks like now, which is probably,
yeah, I'm looking at him right now. Good looking guy. Good looking Jeremy got there.
Yeah, he's great. But, he's also still a bit shy. So sometimes I really have to be like, okay, we're going to do this. And then he gets into it, but it just takes him a bit more than me because I'm like, yeah, make a video. And he's like, okay. But yeah.
It's funny working in any sort of branch of entertainment like this, if it's digital creation or music or, you know, YouTube, anything like that, you know pretty quickly who within your circle is comfortable being in that position or not.
Yes.
It's like immediate. It's immediate.
I don't know if you saw my...
Being on camera like... changes people.
I don't know if you saw my friend. I did the how to gossip in German with my friend Burcu. She's Turkish. Turkish.
Right, yeah, 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 I saw that.
And she was amazing. Like, she got it right away. We filmed this, and, like, that went super viral just because of her. She has the vibes. So it's really...
The charisma.
The charisma, exactly. So it takes some time. I don't know if you're also a theater kid, but you give me, like, a theater kid vibe since you're in music and stuff.
I think I was supposed to be one, but didn't go to the right high school, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so Brittany and I have already... You know, we were both, we've met each other too. And also I've met some other creators on TikTok. And we were all theater kids, like high school theater kids that got a platform again in their late 20s that are like, yes, I'm back on stage.
I can completely relate to that.
Yeah. So
tell me a bit about, go ahead, finish that. And then I'm going to ask you a big question.
No, I was just in musical theater, dance, everything from a young age. And then when you know you go to college, you kind of lose all those fun hobbies you had as a kid. So that's why I think TikTok has been so fun for me, because all the fun stuff I did in high school when it comes to like creative side and acting all made this job a lot easier. So
yeah, that makes total sense. I have a similar path to that, just a little bit different in the way that I only had music in high school for myself, because I was in this like rural southern town in Mississippi, so everything was sports, you know. And I did participate in sports, but I wasn't quite right for that.
Yeah.
But I had music just for myself, and then when I got into college, then that exposed me. I was like part of an improv troupe. We did these big orientation shows for all the new freshmen. It was a film school, so we did all these short films and plays and. Made all these music videos and things like that. And that exposed me to this enjoyment that I had of being on camera, which I didn't really know I had before then, I guess.
Yeah.
But it kind of concreted it. And then when I went to Germany, the first few years, all of that was gone. Like, just back to zero. And all I had was back again, just music for me, which the first 2 years did have some good traction, I have to admit. I was doing really well those first 2 years. And then for some reason it plateaued, and then it kind of went back down again. And it wasn't until, just into the pandemic, I was like, let's just make some videos where it's showing my face, trying to be funny. And it scratched that theater itch again.
And you're like, wow, people are like clapping for me with their likes and follows. I mean, it sounds very egotistical, but it's not for me. It's not the likes and the follows. It's just the amount of reach I have to connect with people that I would have never connected with. And how you also create conversations online too. Like people, I mean, there's a lot of the cultural shock content we've done is not like a secret anymore. A lot of the topics have been talked about, but in the beginning, you probably... People were really like, what? Like, in Canada, the grocery stores are open on Sundays? You're like, yes, they are. Like, everywhere.
Yeah, man. Get with it.
we won't bring up this topic. This is like a no-go zone. I've given up completely. So, next subject.
Oh, God. I want to ask you about Business Babes Abroad.
Ah, yes. That's funny. I literally just had a... before I was talking with you, I had an interview with Deutschland.de just an hour ago at 8:30 in the morning my time. And they wanted to know about Business Babes Abroad too. So it's really kicking off at the moment, and I'm super excited. So
Do tell.
Yes.
How did it start? And tell me everything.
So as you know, like I'm an event manager, and I love hosting events and getting people together. And I started doing that also in my free time for my community. It started as a Facebook group like pre-pandemic 2018, before I was popular in the internet or anything. And then it was just a group for marketing, women in marketing in Hamburg, because I was in marketing and I wanted to connect with other women, international women in marketing. And then in the pandemic, we were like, actually, there's a demand for other people in other areas of work to come together and network. And we did, when the pandemic like eased down a bit, when we were allowed to have events again, we did some big events with different topics and they sold out super quickly. And then we just continued doing more events. We did a big event last December where we brought like 60 women together, and there were 6 speakers, and they all talked about something that a failure in their life abroad or in their career abroad. And we had 6 amazing speakers, 60 women there. And from that point on, there has been so much demand for more events from this group. And We've even started a chapter in Munich, a bit smaller than Hamburg, but we had an event just last week, which had 15 women there. We plan to do more. We have a co-working club every second Friday in Hamburg, so international women can get together if they were remote workers or they work in a place where they can work from other places. They can come together at a cafe and we all work together. We're not colleagues, but we feel like colleagues because we're all coming together, having like this safe space for international women. And the nice thing is that most of us worked in German companies, so it's nice to come together on a Friday and pretend we're each other's colleagues and can kind of relate to each other a bit more. And yeah, the community is, yeah, there's a big demand and I'm trying to keep up with the demand. I get messages all the time like, Hannah, start this in Dusseldorf. Hannah, start this in Frankfurt. And I'm like, okay, I need to quit. Like, I'm not quitting any jobs, but I have a team of a few girls. Chelsea, she's also a creator. Yeah, she helps me a lot.
I wanted to ask you exactly about Chelsea next. Yes.
Yeah. She's like the right hand and she's helping me a lot with this too. So she's definitely like the co-founder at this point. And we do it together. And I got accepted into a entrepreneurship program in October. So it's 1 month long in Spain. And my goal is to figure out a game plan to make this something more concrete because at the moment it's basically a passion project. People think like when they meet Chelsea and I, like it's our full-time jobs, but it's actually one of our many jobs and we love doing it because we love bringing people together, but we don't really earn a big income from it. Of course, we get some revenue from tickets and stuff, maybe when we have a sponsor, but most of it is free work. So we're trying to figure out a way to hopefully grow this community where we actually can also make it like our, at least some of our main income as well.
Do you have it where it's a possibility for people to donate to the group for any reason?
Not yet. I mean, we're not sure if we want to make it like a not-for-profit or like a membership kind of thing. We want to keep it super accessible as well and keep our event prices accessible. There are groups like ours, German groups, where you have to pay a membership and it's like, I don't know, like 60 euros a month. And I think that's ridiculous. So we're trying to think of ways to keep it accessible, but also make it so we're not working for free and able to grow it in other cities in Germany with keeping like the brand and everything, but not that we need to be doing everything. Like I can't be in 10 places at once. So, but it's also nice for me because I get a lot of messages from women who want to meet me. And as much as I would love to meet like all my followers, I love going to these events and being like, hey, I'll be at this event. Come meet me, meet other women, make friends. And so that's...
Are you saying other women? Are you saying meet other women?
Yeah, like they can maybe become friends with other women at the events.
Other women?
Yes. Wait, sorry. Wait.
I think it's...
confused.
I feel so bad for interrupting that because you're saying it's just such an important thing.
Yeah.
It just sounded so many times like the plural women that you said meet woman.
Yes.
They're going to come and meet other women and we can talk to other women. And
yeah.
Then we can take these women and meet other women.
I think it's just
like just this pinch in my ear.
I'm sorry. It's maybe my bad English now. But yeah, they can meet other women. And
woman, you're saying... Is that a Canadian thing? Is it a Canadian to say woman?
How do you say it? Woman.
Women. You're a woman and more of you are women.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm screwing this up now.
Wait. say singular. Say singular.
Woman.
And now say plural.
Woman. Sounds the same to me.
I mean, I think phonetically you're right. It's spelled like that. Woman. Yeah. Woman. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's rude. I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's fine. I'll get weird accents now because I think I've been in Germany for so long and I just start speaking like my friends. So sometimes I'm just saying, like, totally fine if correct me because sometimes my English has gone to shit. Like, my mom, when I first come here, she's always like, give her a few days, she stops sounding like a German. You still have a solid American like with I don't West, when you said mid-coaster, where are you from again?
No, New Orleans. No, I mean, New Orleans is just a very like liberal city in a very conservative state. So yeah. It sounds pretty neutral, I guess, unless you're like born and raised there in the swamps, then you get this Cajun Creole.
Yeah. I've always heard that like I have a very musical ear. So even when I go to the UK or something for a few days, I just want to start talking like everyone there. So I think it's just...
Yeah. It's also this like inherent people pleaser thing. I have it too, where you kind of want to reflect what they're giving back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, that's the same with me, like doing this German person in situation thing. I mean, it's like every single day there's a message that people are surprised I'm not a German person.
But you do really good.
Just because it's like you, it's just this musical ear. It's just the gift. Like, I'm just lucky that I can emulate that because it's way better than my actual German sounds.
Yeah. When I try to do the German accent, I end up sounding like someone from Pakistan. Like, I just can't do it. I've tried. I can do it sometimes, but like in my head, like it seems easy, but I think I have to listen to a German, then I can do it. But you do it perfectly.
It's just an inherent thing. I'm very, very lucky first off, I'm lucky that it works that way because I don't have to try too hard, and I'm lucky that people like it. Mm-hmm. So it's just two very, very, like flipping two coins and just very, very lucky that they land on the side you want.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
Tell me about Chelsea a bit too, not to take away from your story too much, but it's just interesting. Again, like in the pandemic, I was looking at all these different creators that were coming up on my feed. I came across you, who, you know, it's so interesting learning about you now, sort of face to face here, because again, looking just through your content, I was like, oh, she's a seasoned veteran in this you know, genre. And then I came across Chelsea, and I was also, her sarcasm and her wittiness and stuff, it's also a little bit different. Like, it's still, everyone's kind of their own thing just enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she's really funny.
Yeah,
oh,
she's really great.
Funny. And then I went to, last September, I went to Hamburg for 2 days to work on a project, and I made a video about it. And she commented, hey, why didn't you let me know you were in Hamburg? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize she was there.
Ah.
And then, like, small world, a few months ago, I see something on my feed about Business Babes Abroad, and there you two are. And I was like, oh, they know each other.
Yeah, we're besties, and we met because of TikTok or Instagram, one of the two. She had a blog about Hamburg, and I also had a blog, and then we both were on TikTok at the same time, and we just were having fun, and we would just go and like film like stupid TikToks together, like with trending memes, and we became super close because of this. And then I had the group already, and then I was like, no, let's do this together, because she's also super talented, not just in creating, but she's also a really great copywriter and marketeer. She's also in marketing, so us two together, we're power couple. But we still do like the occasional collab post on TikTok, and she's got the best facial expressions and like sarcasm and vibes, so whenever we do a video together, it's also quite successful.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can totally imagine that. Oh man, it's so cool, right, to like bring you these, besides Chelsea and myself and maybe some others that I don't know about, have you had the pleasure, I guess Brittany,
have
you made connections with our last guest, Brittany Elaine?
Yeah, we are Instagram friends. She came to one of my BBA events in Hamburg. We had one of the co-working clubs a few months ago. We made a video together, actually, about taking Advil, and Germans being like, how dare you take Advil and not open a window? Are you sick?
Right.
Are you dying? Which is a funny, funny topic and creates a lot of conversation. And then I also met Ali, USA mom in Germany. She came to a BBA Munich event as well. You know, the
Ali,
one.
USA mom.
USA mom in Germany. You must know her. She makes this like crazy viral content comparing Germany and the US, mostly political stuff. But
maybe I've seen her before. Let me see.
She's also, I think, a big, I don't want to say like who's big league and who's not big league, but she's also quite popular on TikTok with this, with culture shock stuff.
Oh yeah, she's like nearly a million on TikTok, looks like.
Yeah.
I think I have seen her. I guess I just haven't watched. I've seen her face, but I've never seen her content before.
Yeah, a lot of her content is definitely about like the differences we're raising families in Germany and America, and she really touches a lot of pain points between America and the US, which, and her content's gone super viral. I think she's been in a lot of media in the States, definitely. So
yeah, that's a good, that's a good audience to tap into.
Yeah. Is your audience mostly German or American?
You know, I looked at my insights recently just to see what's going on. And like sometimes TikTok and Instagram are really different.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what video, like the video itself will have totally different results from the overall data sometimes. But for Instagram, for sure, because right now that's just where I'm spending the most attention, I guess. The most, like the general most is Germany, and the most, the highest city is Berlin, which I think makes sense. It's like so many expats and like foreigners living there and stuff. And of course you have channels like Berlin Ausländer Memes, I think, that everybody loves, who kind of also threads that gap. And then then the cities sprinkle after that, like from Munich and Hamburg somewhere mixed. And then the next is United States, and then the next is UK, and then it's really random. Then I have, then it's all over the place.
Yeah, I have a similar, like, on TikTok, most 50% German, and then on Instagram, I have, like, 27% German. I had very off-topic video go super viral. You probably saw it. It's where I, like, put my hair in a pasta strainer.
Oh, yeah, hey. Talk about not being able to predict what's going to blow up, huh?
That was 52,
wildly,
52 million likes and like 40,000 followers from this video. And it's been a struggle on Instagram now, because originally my topic was mostly just Germany travel, life abroad. Then I was bored one day and I was like, I'll just do this pasta strainer video for fun. Because I always also talk about like curly hair, getting my hair cut abroad and stuff like that. So
your tips are, you've also got the curly hair. You got a whole thing about your curly hair. Yeah.
Yeah. It's mostly me getting my hair cut abroad, which always goes viral too. So the pasta strainer was like completely left field. And 52 million views, which is like crazy. A whole country.
That's huge.
Like, I don't know which country in Europe that's equivalent to, but like, it's like everyone watching my pasta strainer video.
It's nuts.
I have a lot of followers from weird places, not weird places, just random places from that video. And it's like, did you guys follow me because of that video, or did you follow me because of the content I normally post? Like, I would like to know why they followed me, if you guys are listening. Which, do you still want to see curly hair content, or do you like the Germany stuff still? So it's like, it's very random.
Well, you're going to love this story, speaking of like something very off-brand going so viral like that. Do you remember last year? I think it was last year, or maybe the year before. Or maybe, anyway, somewhere in the last year, on TikTok, there was a video that every single person on Earth stitched. And it was a girl with short black hair introducing a meal that she was enjoying. And she was recommending that everybody eats cacio e pepe. Did you see this?
I think so.
She had like the it was like pasta sauce in a jar. She has like the ravioli on a fork. She's like, guys, you have to try this. It's the most amazing cacio e pepe. And she like super overpronounces this Italian sauce. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, I do.
I think if you just type in like cacio, it's like a gazillion videos. And for some reason last year, I don't know if it's because I watched a handful of the people. I mean, she got mocked relentlessly like 10 billion times. But I watched a few of the people who mocked her, and then the algorithm was like, oh, he likes the cacio e pepe joke. So they sent me like over and over and over and over. And as the trends work that way. And 2 months ago... Something like 2 months ago, there's this great chocolate company called Tony's Chocolonely. I don't know if you know that chocolate. It's a Dutch company, and they're based in a few different countries. And we had kind of talked about maybe doing something together because I like their chocolate. And then mm-hmm. they said, oh, why don't you come to Amsterdam? We're going to have some, I hate to use the word influencers because I'm not doing like lifestyle stuff. It's just comedy. But I was like, come join this group and then you can see our factory. We're going to have like a big company festival mm-hmm. and then you can
we have to talk about content. After this, we have to talk about attending influencer events because those are funny, but carry on.
Yes. Yeah. I'm happy to hear. So that was like my first real invitation to go do something just because Instagram numbers are well. So that was all kind of new and weird for me. Anyway, long story short, I go there and I'm with this group of people I've never met before. Everybody from like, you know, 21. I think the oldest person was 36. All different things. Like there's the people who are doing like obvious food talk stuff. There's mm-hmm. the people who are only fashion, changing their outfits like 7-8 times mm-hmm. a day. Hairstyles changing every 10 seconds. DJs. There's like this French food enthusiast person asking all these questions. And then there's me, who's like in the corner drinking too much in the middle of the day on this boat tour down a creek in Amsterdam.
I have a similar experience. Something like this, but yes.
And basically, I saw this girl on the boat and I thought for a second, oh, I know her. She went to my college. I know her. She's like, she's from my school. And then I was talking to her for the longest time. We know each other. Maybe we met. Were you in New Orleans? Yeah, I was, but we weren't finding it. And then dinner time came around. I was sitting next to this Belgian DJ who's 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, man, this girl at the end of the table in the green shirt, it's crazy. I was talking to her earlier. I know her, but I don't know how I know her. It's crazy that we met here in Amsterdam. And he leans in real close, looks me right in the eyes, and he goes, God, John. And I just exploded like, oh my God.
But that's like, she did not say like, oh yeah, I'm the viral Cacio Pepe girl, because I've even had people say like, oh Hannah,
you'd think,
you're the
right?
pasta strainer girl. I'm like, yes, the pasta strainer girl, it's me.
yeah you would think that would be the first, she'd be like, oh, you probably know Cacio Pepe, you know, like,
yeah,
she just didn't bring it up. And finally I found out, and man, she was so nice. And the next day we got so cozy that I made a joke about it, finally talking in the open, like, that's where we know you from. And she laughed and she was so sweet. But I don't know exactly how we touched into that kind of thing, but, oh, because the hair strainer thing was like people following.
Yeah.
For sort of, yeah. Crazy. But you wanted to ask something about influencer trips, or you had a story?
No, I was just saying, like, I went to an influencer. I've been to a few influencer events now, but I was invited to an influencer event in April for the opening of this big Italian restaurant, Edmodo in Hamburg. And I invited Chelsea and another friend of mine, just because I was like, I cannot go to this alone, because this is gonna be like, I don't want to go to an influencer event alone.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was the same thing. You're like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I'm not one of these people. Like, not like they're bad, but they're just, you know, I consider myself also, I am an influencer. Like, of course, I have to do brand sponsorships and I influence things, but I'm also a content creator and I'm not like a beauty or wellness blogger or fashionista. And at this event, there was
it's a different thing.
It's a different vibe. And this event was like almost every B-list or A-list influencer within Germany or B-list celebrities and stuff were at this event. And like Chelsea and I were like, oh my God, it's that person. Oh my God, it's that person. And then we're also there. People are passing us freaking like free oysters, champagne showers, like just this never ending like truffle pasta guy and like music, and it was so over the top. It was amazing. But at the same time, you're like, how did I get here?
I don't belong here.
I'm just a random person who has made videos in my living room and now I'm beside celebrities.
It's
like, wait, it's like imposter syndrome, but at the same time you're like, okay, I'm just gonna live this moment. And then other people, you'll meet people and they'll be like, oh, like, what are you on influencing about? And I'm like, well, I make travel videos and also funny videos about living in Germany. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm a beauty influencer or a lifestyle influencer. And then they instantly go like, how many followers do you have? Blah, 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 blah. And then it's always like...
I would never answer that question. Never, no. ever.
People, well, they're just...
Just look it up. Just,
yeah, yeah. You know, no, they look it up. And then they're like, oh, you have 100,000 followers? And you're like they're surprised. And I'm like...
Right, right.
Yeah, because it just... And they're like, oh, I've been on this app. I have 40,000 and I've been doing this for years. But I'm like, yeah, because you just make beauty content. And people don't find it that interesting. And people are always surprised when they think, oh, you have so many followers. You're like, yes, I do.
Well, here's also the thing, too, that I've been learning a lot more only in the past, like, 3 or 4 months is that, and I mean, this seems so obvious, but people aren't buying what you're promoting. Mm-hmm. They're buying you.
Exactly.
And they're following you. And if they like you or they think you're sweet or funny or interesting, then they're gonna vibe with whatever you're posting.
Exactly.
You know, most of the time. It took me so long to get that. And maybe that's something I should have maybe paid more attention to. Because you're always told your whole life if you're a musician, the music speaks for itself. And to an extent, it does, of course.
Yeah.
But with content creation, it's the product is you, you know, and now, I mean, because I want to ask you too about, you know, as much as you're comfortable to talk about your brand partnerships, but that's all, of course, happening on my end too now. And that's something that, you know, some companies have come to me that, you know, it's interesting now to be approached by companies that are only approaching me for the number and not because they really know me or know what my interests are.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for me to be in the position where I have to decide, do I want to do a video for this company? Even though in any other circumstance, I never would have thought or taken a second look at that product. Mm-hmm. But because the money is good or the deal is good or it's fair, I'll consider, can I twist it into my content?
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? I've been quite lucky with the brands that have reached out to me. I'm usually quite fitting. But there has been, of course, a few ones that aren't fitting. And yeah, I've been doing brand sponsorships now for like 2 years. So I have a few like pretty steady ones that are consistent, which has been good. But yeah, it's one of those things that brands, they want the reach, you know, they see you get 200,000 through 500,000 views on your reels and they're like, oh, we want in on that. And they'll pay for that. Even if the video is, you know, 15 seconds long and that video took you maybe 2 hours or less to make and edit, they don't care. They want the reach. And I think that is crazy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The eyeballs are worth it no matter what the effort is.
Yeah. And it's just also, we do a lot of content for free, you know, and I don't want to think about calculate how many hours I've made and sit down editing videos or writing scripts or, you know, and there's so many hours in that. And I think people see brand sponsorships as a bad thing. They're like, oh, it's an ad, you know, but actually more my followers are so supportive now. But there's also a line to draw to. Like, I will only pick sponsorships which I know my followers will also like, and they'll find it useful or something they would use. And I will even work with companies that don't have the highest budget if I think it's still useful for my followers, because I want to make their lives better abroad as well. So
of course, yeah. Or if you enjoy what they do, or they have a good message or something, or a good philosophy, then
yeah. So it's just really like, it is still part of your content. And I think it's important because you need to pay yourself back eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this
is do you charge a different price for a TikTok video than you do for a reel?
Yeah. TikTok, I charge a lot less because the reach is not as stable as Instagram, which is so stupid. And
no, but I mean, that's, I think that's totally fair. Like, they're not, like you said, they're not buying the labor, they're buying the eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's also fair. I charge less also for TikTok. It's less eyeballs.
Yeah, on TikTok also, for some reason, whenever it's an ad, the reach drops considerably. On Instagram, it's drops a bit, of course, but like, not like TikTok. TikTok is like, as soon as there's a little glimpse of an ad there, it just, like, the views, I swear, like, get cut in half. Unless you're super sneaky about it, or the content is amazing.
Right.
which is really hard to do sometimes, because sometimes brands really just want their product like in your face, and sometimes have to tell brands like, no, I cannot say buy this now or get 50% off with this code, because it doesn't work right on TikTok. Instagram, yeah, it's okay, but TikTok's like, no, fire alarm, it's an ad, like, we'll not show it to anyone. So have to be super careful. Yeah.
It's funny though, because I think also TikTok kind of blew up during the pandemic for a myriad of reasons, but also I think because it had this texture of originality and rawness, as a, you know, juxtapositioning to Instagram's hyper polished fashion model boat yacht sunset sort of framed photo vibe it had. But now that Instagram is competing with Reels, it's kind of a blurred line again.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see where that goes.
And I have more followers on Instagram now, surprisingly. So it's switched for me.
And that for me was so extremely random, unpredictable, 1,000%. Like, I had this, a good friend of mine who's also doing really well now, and I'm so happy for him because he's doing it with music. Mm-hmm. But he found like a gimmick. And I don't even mean that in it's a really positive word in his way, because he found a hook to promote his music. But he's like a composer, electronic DJ style kind of guy, and he makes these crazy beats. And he's a good friend and a very, very sweet guy. And basically, he was really supportive and really, really, really there for me, like from the very beginning when the numbers started to grow a bit just for the content stuff. And calling me, man, I just saw you crossed 100K. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. Like, super, super sweet, super genuine, you know? And then he was just trying things and asking advice if I had any idea. And I really couldn't give him too much because I didn't know why it was all of a sudden working. And then he just came up with a gimmick all on his own. He made this idea that, like, his studio partner is this, like, 60-something-year-old guy. And he made a gimmick, like a hook, that the old guy is the one making these like fire, like club beats.
Yeah.
So that's the hook now. And every video is the older guy with a, you know, with the blanket over the shoulders and a tee and this like, and some crazy text like, he's blowing my mind or something. And it's like 5 million views, 7 million views, 100,000 followers. Like,
but it's actually him making the music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
But I mean, he even did like press photos with the guy, like they're friends.
Wow.
So the guy's kind of like a shadow face for the group, but his Spotify blew up. He got a Sony deal.
Wow.
Like all this stuff happened within like 3 months.
Yeah. And I see a lot of creators always complain on Instagram. My reels don't get any views or la 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 la. Also on TikTok. And I'm just like, I feel blessed because my reels are pretty steady, and even if it's off topic, off Germany topic, it's still quite good. And it's like some people just don't have that knack. They don't understand. So I actually did with Business Babes Abroad a few workshops on creating reels, and I think it's really fun to teach this kind of topic too. So hopefully one day that will be like another side income of mine, is like helping other creators make viral content, because I think it is interesting. Not everyone can do it, but you have to have a certain knack, or you have to have the hook or something.
Yeah, with any kind of entertainment, there is a lot you can teach, but at the end of the day, it's like we said, they're buying you. Do you, you have it?
Yeah.
I think we both feel very thankful that we do. Mm-hmm. Kind of a surface level question. Why don't we have our blue checks? What's going on with these blue checks? Why don't we have these guys?
What's going on with that? I don't know. There's some creators.
Why are they denying us?
You have to be in the media, so you have to have a articles posted about you in like newspapers and stuff. So I know girl Morgan in Spain. She's a similar creator to us, but she does content about Spain culture shocks, and she did some video about, I don't know, there was some noise that happens every morning in Spain that's like, you know, you're in Spain when. And this got super viral and was in a bunch of media outlets in Spain, like in the newspaper and stuff. And she got a blue check like this. And I was like, what? So we have to make content that gets in the German newspaper, apparently.
I'm telling you.
But I think
it's crazy. I was telling my mom. Go ahead.
No, like you and Liam, they both have blue checks now, and it's because they were just in the media a lot. You know, they've been presenters or invited to huge events. So, well, it'll come for us, but I really am annoyed that you have to pay for it now, because I'm like, I worked hard. I'm not paying for the blue check. I want to earn it. I don't. And then I see people now with blue checks, and they're like,
and then you wonder, did they buy it?
Yeah, they're small accounts. Then they look, okay, they're an American account. They're quite small. And I'm like, nah, they bought it. They bought it. So
here's the thing about that. Like I was talking back in March or something, I was talking to my mom and I was telling her the story of this, you know, she's not so well versed in social media. And I was telling her sort of the problem with this blue check thing, because it was on my mind. I think at the time I had crossed like 150K or something. And I was like, you know, since I crossed like 10K or whatever, I applied so many times. I had all these links, and I've been in the newspaper a few times for music, but not for this specifically, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I've tried and tried and tried, and they just never tell me what the criteria is that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say, well, next time try this. They just you just don't get it. And I was like, and now they offer that you can get it for like 17 euros a month or something crazy, mm-hmm. like double what Spotify is or something. And I was like, now if I do get it, they're going to think that I paid for it. So now it's like, do I want it now? Because I had creator friends, like you said, who have like 900 followers, 1500 followers, and they have it. And it's like, did they, wait a second, hold
no,
on.
No, they know, bought it. A, they
now
bought
it's all
it.
Messy.
Yeah, unless you're like famous in the media. But I haven't even actually applied for it, to be honest, because I went to look at the application stuff and I was like, okay, like put reference links to where you're in the media. And to be honest, like my videos have gone very viral, but they haven't been in newspapers and stuff like that. So we'll
see. Thing about the media, like I only, like it doesn't say that on the submission page. It's just like, it gives you options. I mean, this is such a stupid thing for anyone listening. No one gives a shit about this.
People are like, but listening. They want to hear culture shocks, Jordan. We didn't talk about culture shocks.
Like your followers are here to learn about you. And I'm like, why don't we have the blue check? I just mean like, I'll end it with this. But like the page is just like options. It's like, you know, news article, social media link or mm-hmm. whatever. Other things. And I've always like, okay, well, here's my TikTok. Here's my Wikipedia page. Here's my whatever. And yeah, it's bogus. It's a scam, and I blame somehow I blame Elon for this, even though it's not him.
Yeah, true, right? I need to make a Wikipedia page actually. Well, yeah, is Prince your real last name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have like a pseudo name. It's not actually my last name, Hannah Teslin, which is great because I like being like, people can't like Google my. I'm sure if they really tried, they could find my last name on the internet. But I really try to keep everything under my media stuff under Hannah Teslin.
It's a very good call.
Yeah, just because in Germany, they like GDPR and data protection.
What's GD?
Like
Datenschutz.
Datenschutz, everything. But why is my last name on my apartment? Like, which, like.
What do you mean?
Like, Germans love Datenschutz, but why is my last name displayed on my apartment building, you know? Like,
oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If someone wanted to find where I lived, they could just ring my fucking doorbell to my house because my last name is there. I think that is crazy, even though, you know, Germany is like, oh, Datenschutz, blah, 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 blah. But, like, yet your name has to be on your front door. So that's kind of one reason I've kind of kept my last name undercover.
I think that's actually really smart. I mean, probably I should have thought about that years ago, but when I was trying to just make a name as a musician, everybody told me, you've already got such a great musician's name. Why would you change that? Jordan Prince has a good ring to it.
Yeah. My last name has like Jewish roots. So it's also like one of those things I was like, I just don't want that kind of attention.
It's like Hannah Teslin Meyerowitz.
Yeah. Yeah, like Goldman. No, it's not that. It's just, yeah.
Is Teslin is that your middle name, or did you get it from something?
That's my middle name. Yeah. So it's actually a lake in Canada, so I think it's quite fitting.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Do you see what time we're at? I can't close this.
We are at an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, Hannah, I'll let you go. This has been I've already ran over the time I was going to try and take from you.
No worries.
This has been so much fun. Oh my God, this has been so easy to talk to you.
Yeah, but I really want to compliment you for the fact that a lot of creators in our niche, I mean, I'm friends with a lot of them, but there's only a few of us who actually reach out and collaborate with each other. You know, there's a core group of us who talk about this topic, as you said, and I really like that you're making a community and interviewing all the different ones, because some people really like to keep to themselves and keep like their, you know, their content. So I think it's really cool what you're doing.
Thanks. I really respect that we all are finding creative ways to voice what we're going through.
Yeah.
And I didn't want there to be any, I think, because it's also very easy in the social media world to have an unspoken sense of competition in a weird way.
Oh, yes. And
so,
but we all do.
Well, I just want to say, we all do it so it's so differently.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that assumption at all.
Yeah. And we're all different people with different, really different experiences. And in the social media world, I think there's like the unwritten law that everyone like credits each other if you take ideas. And I think within our niche, it's pretty good. We're mostly, a lot of us are doing that. So other niches, I think it's the wild west. So I think I wouldn't want to be there. I'm happy where I am.
What I really like about these people, this group, is like, you know, you, Chelsea, Brittany, Uyen, Liam, I'm sure I'm missing a few more, but like that general group, I feel like it's interesting that obviously if we're just talking about like fish out of water, culture shock stuff, we have all covered four or five of the exact same, you know, observations. Of course we have, like, I mean, there's no, that's obvious. But I never saw it through Liam or Uyen or you or Brittany. I never saw it and was like, now that was not so, man, I wouldn't have done it that way. Mm-hmm. Or I never saw anything and was like, oh, I was going to do it exactly like that. Man, they took it away from me just before I did it.
Yeah.
Like everyone has just the different lens enough where I'm like, we should kind of have a community here.
Yeah.
And maybe even, you know, be in a video with each other if that makes sense down the road, or just to, you know, and like for me, I'm so grateful that because of this recent growth and following that the podcast audience, what started off so small and so niche,
mm-hmm.
has also grown into something way bigger than what I started with.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And now we can like,
and good
know, bring
for you,
these audiences together, and
good for you doing a podcast plus everything else. I was recently discussing with a friend to start a podcast, but like, I don't think I could do it on top of everything. Like that's a whole another thing. And that goes with YouTube and stuff. Like I would love to do long form content. I think it's very personal, but there's a whole another group of creators just on YouTube with the same subject as us that I don't have any relation with to any way. So I think we're like Instagram Reels, TikTok creators is a great niche with this topic. I might go on YouTube, but I think it will probably be something off topic. Still related to living abroad and stuff, but definitely not only about living in Germany.
I'm on the exact same page as you with that, actually, about branching into YouTube. Like my whole page has only ever been, you know, like I said, just live videos and music videos. And now having this growth, like, you know, if you glance over at Liam's page, you're like, oh my God, you have, was it 400,000 subscribers? Like,
mm-hmm.
He's making a living. That's enough money to make a career, no problem.
Yeah, and just I haven't seen if he has long-term stuff. Long-form video.
Long-form?
Is it just shorts? Just being able to put that on shorts. I was thinking to hire someone just to repost my content on YouTube just because I cannot keep up with all the platforms. But yeah, I have to think if it's really worth
it. That part is really time consuming. Like I have a little, it's very obnoxious, but I have these little like timers each day. And I mean, it sounds like I have like these Willy Wonka thing with all these different machineries, but I have like a little phone alarm for like, you know, okay, well at this point I'll do Instagram, Facebook together, but I have different, like, you know, Facebook I think is like 7 or 8 weeks behind. I'm doing like the sort of rerun version of that.
Oh, I don't even post anything on Facebook. Didn't think about that.
Just to have it on there. I mean, just to see what happens. You know, there's been a little growth there, so might as well just see what happens from that. My only complaint about this whole thing is that Instagram Reels aren't just purely on their own a monetized commodity.
Oh, Oh my God, it is completely so unfair.
Why can't they just pay out the same as pay out the same as TikTok? You know, whatever it is, TikTok's a whole thing for creators is changing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to make slightly longer content, but then you can make more money.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I get like, you know, nothing to live off on TikTok, but it's still nice to get like a little bit of money here and there. And Instagram is right. Had it in the States that you could get money, then they stopped it. And I'm just like, what is your guys' problem? Now you want us to pay to be verified and make you free content? Like, no.
That's so cold-blooded, right?
Yeah.
It's so cold-blooded. They have so much money. They could absolutely pour that back into the creators.
Yeah.
And then have us like so outspokenly excited to be on Instagram. You know, it's
yeah.
crazy that that's where our biggest growth is and we can't make any money from it purely as creators. That's really...
Yeah, and then YouTube's like, here, yeah. handing out money to people because posting their shorts. I missed the boat on that one, but like, I'm just like, what
Same.
The fuck?
Man, you know, like if a lot of people would say what they would do if they could go back in time, they would maybe go back to school, study something different, do these big life-changing things. I would have got a camera and started long-form YouTube content back in like 2007. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
2007, 2008, you know, music reviews or, you know, gaming, streaming, doing this kind of stuff. Like, it would have changed everything.
Yeah, that's the same. But I still think there's still time. If especially now you have a big audience or we have big audiences, as soon as we make the time to post that long form content, people are going to watch it. It's like not starting from square one, which is nice. So, just when the time comes and the time is right.
Yeah. Well, Hannah, I'm so grateful that you took the time to do this today. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we could get to meet each other finally.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully when you're back in Germany, we can also meet up and maybe meet with Chelsea and maybe do a video or something
down
the road.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a lot of fun. You're in Munich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you also know Tyler, right? I always see you.
Right. Yeah. The Canadian, right?
Yes. Tyler's one of my other Canadian content creators. Yes. So I will be coming to Munich again soon. So we can all meet up.
Awesome. That would be really cool. Well, Hannah, I've taken up so much of your time and I really, really greatly appreciate you. I know we're doing this with like a huge 6 or 7 hour time difference now. So thanks for finding time like in the start of your day to talk about all this stuff. Besides Business Babes Abroad and your Instagram or your TikTok, are there anything else that you want in the show notes that people can click and have access to or anything you want to plug?
No, I think BBA Hannah Teslin on TikTok and Instagram are like my main channels at the moment. So that's where they can find me, connect with me.
Perfect. All right, guys. Hannah Teslin, TikTok, Instagram, Business Babes Abroad. If you're in Germany, go check everything out and reach out if you're a business babe yourself. Hannah, thank you so much.
We take non-business babes too. Like, you know, you don't have to.
Yeah.
We take you as long as you like have career-oriented, driven person, it's fine. Also, yeah. Flinta as well. Not just woman.
What's Flinta? What's Flinta?
It's like the German version of like LBQ. No, I fucked that up too.
Like LGBTQIA plus?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. Then we can just wrap it up here. We just end the call and the recording at the same time. And you can just send me everything after. But Hannah, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can be in touch again real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much and have a lovely dinner time. I'm going to have lunch now.
All right, enjoy. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider. Produziert für M94.5.